Lake Effect continues now on Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Joy Powers. He's only 26, but Canadian fingerstyle guitarist and singer-songwriter Callum Graham has already performed at the Olympic Games in Vancouver and London, has released 5 acclaimed albums, and won some major Canadian music competitions.
Graham recently was named one of the top 30 guitarists under 30 by Acoustic Guitar Magazine, and he's in Milwaukee to perform tonight at the Helene Zelazo Center on the UWM campus. He stopped by the studio first and began with this tune called Three-Way Street. Three-Way Street, Callum Graham, in Lake Effect's performance studio. Welcome. My goodness, that was lovely.
Thank you so much. Great to be here.
I guess I want to start. I always never quite know where I want to go, because there's a part of me that wants to know more about the technical stuff, and then there's a part of me that just wants to know where the inspiration for playing this way came from. So maybe we should start there. You started playing very young.
I started when I was 13. So right around that time, I discovered Don Ross, Canadian musician, and this is actually his guitar. And Don really showed me the groove and how, you know, throughout all his songs, it's so important that, the groove is always there. And especially as a solo instrumentalist, you know, you've got to keep the time. And so that was actually a song that we did on the duet album we recorded, 1234. And that was kind of inspired by Don, just keeping that backbeat. And then the melody is very simple on top. So the two layers, it's kind of like the guitar, I guess, with a piano. You have the right and left hand doing, you know, two different, very different parts. But how it all layers together is kind of like a human loop pedal. And it all works out.
I love that, human loop pedal. And there is something mesmerizing about watching you perform that, because we see, and when people see you in concert, they'll see the same thing. You know, you're all over the instrument, and somehow all of that polyrhythm stuff is happening, and the groove is happening, the melody is happening, the harmonies are going on, and somehow it all happens with two hands.
Mm-hmm. Miraculously.
It is pretty, yeah. So Don Ross, big inspiration, and I can understand why. Brilliant, brilliant musician. When did you decide, this is what I want to do all the time?
I think after I heard his first album, Bering Strait. At the time I was in high school and listening to like punk rock and metal, you know, angst phase. And then one day my guitar teacher was playing this cassette by Don Ross, and the song First Ride came on. I'm like, wow, that's cool. It's like three guitars playing. He's like, no, that's one guy. And my head exploded at that moment, and I thought, that's what I want to be doing. So I put down the electric guitar and just been playing the acoustic since.
When you are working out a song, how are you working out those parts? You know, what's the process for you? Do you work out each one individually and then kind of layer them, or are you kind of working on them concurrently?
It's different for everyone. It's kind of, songwriting is kind of like a puzzle, you know, and you get some pieces that fit together here. Sometimes you make the border first, then fill it in. Every song is kind of a different puzzle challenge, if you will. You know, it all is put together differently every time. For me, the most important thing, though, throughout all of it, aside from technical, whatever you're doing, is the melody. And that's, you know, what I'm playing on the guitar transcends the guitar. So it's not just, you know, a song on the guitar. It's music that you could, you know, you could hum the melody and you could play it on a different instrument. So I try and not think with the guitar so much and think more in a musical term with the melody kind of dictating most of the decisions in my writing.
Then what you're essentially doing after that is arranging it.
Yeah, pretty much so.
That's
yeah,
really
and
cool.
Storytelling part of it, you know, the beginning and middle and end, all that.
And you mentioned storytelling, and that's such an interesting thing because I think most modern fingerstyle guitarists have that in common. Most people are trying to tell a story through what they're doing, mostly without words. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have lyrics most of the time. And with these layers of sound and layers of rhythm, there's usually some sort of through line that's going on. For you, when you're writing or when something comes to you, is it like an idea about a feeling, again, depending on the song?
Usually, feeling and emotion will start something, and that will kind of lead me to other ideas and say, oh, okay, this could segue here, go into that. And then, yeah, through repetition and then, okay, need a new section, come back to it. So, yeah, it's all very interesting how it goes together. It's just a giant mess, to be honest. The creative process is a mess, and it's, you know, how do the puzzle pieces fit together? But ultimately, if you're patient with it and determined, can get some pretty cool results.
And be a good editor, too.
Yes, that's a big part, too.
They say in journalism, kill your puppies. It's like you love it, you love it, you love it, but it doesn't fit.
Yeah.
And you have to be willing to say, it doesn't work in this story. It doesn't work in this song.
Big time. And I learned that when I was co-scoring. I had the opportunity to have my music co-scored in a IMAX film on humpback whales. And that was a big part of the process, was that we wrote so much music and then, you know, the directors would be like, no, it's not what we're looking for. Go back to the drawing board and write a whole bunch more. And then, like you said, kill your puppies. So.
Did you save any of the stuff that they rejected for the film?
Yes, actually. I wrote one piece I can play on the harp guitar and have this really beautiful theme for a visual that we were really trying to get. And I felt like it fit well. And they're like, yeah, it's just not what we're looking for. So I kind of scrapped the song and came back to it, found it a couple years later. And I'm like, hey, that's actually pretty good. I should finish that. So
can we hear the one that on the harp guitar that you wrote for the film that they didn't take?
Sure, absolutely. Thank you.
thank you so much. That was Farewell on the most beautiful harp guitar I think I've ever seen. That is just a gorgeous instrument.
Right.
I have to ask how the bass strings are tuned, the harp strings.
Well, this is actually tuned way down to a D, and just goes up kind of a minor scale from there. D, E. It changes sometimes major, minor, and I have these little sharping levers, kind of like you can do the Jaws theme. And you can do really quick tuning changes. And but
does that
yeah,
take
it's
it up a tone, a half tone or a tone?
Yeah,
or?
Semitone.
Semitone, okay.
So it's usually just I keep it in kind of a minor scale, major scale, depending on the song.
Is there a standard tuning for a harp guitar, or is it pretty much player's choice?
I guess like Stephen Bennett is one of the, you know, most well-known, well-recognized players, and he's kind of got a Stephen Bennett standard harp guitar tuning. But it's way up. I think his starts at an E, if I'm not mistaken. But, yeah, this is pretty low. When I told the luthier I wanted to go down to a D, I said, are you sure? It's a lot of tension.
Is it harder to keep
tension.
It? Yeah, is it harder to keep it in tune with it
yeah,
taken
well,
down that?
It's the string here is about a 90 gauge, which is like
yeah, it's huge.
It's massive. It's
it almost looks like a cello string.
Yeah, it pretty much is. And, yeah, if it's tuned any lower, it just turns into a bunch of spaghetti. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely beautiful sound. Now, coming from a standard six string, and I know guitarists do all kinds of tunings depending on the song that they're playing, open tunings or partially open tunings. When you add these other six strings, it's not a standard 12-string guitar. You've got something very different going on because you're not fretting them. Was there a learning curve for you to, like, feel that you had any competency on this, or was it pretty quick?
Yeah, it took me a little while to, I mean, for one, looking down and usually seeing 6 and seeing 12 is kind of like, whoa. Whereas, you know, it's very unfamiliar at first. But, I mean, it's the way I think of it now is kind of like you have your regular acoustic guitar on the bottom. And then if you memorize the strings that you have it tuned to, as you said, there's no frets. So if you can memorize, you know, the different chords, like you've got a D, so you can play that, an E, F sharp. Come to an A, and then this one goes to a B. So if you can memorize that, then it kind of gives you a little bit of a map around it. But, yeah.
Well, and just that progression alone was very beautiful.
Yeah.
Just going right down the strings.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I could hear all kinds of melodies against that.
Oh, yeah.
That basic movement.
And, mm-hmm.
So I know in your solo performances, you do more standard guitar and you're doing harp guitar stuff as well. Have you composed on this yet?
I have. That was actually one of my songs.
That was the first
yep.
one you composed on
yep.
or one of the first?
Farewell, that's right. Yeah, I've written a couple songs for it and worked a little arrangement of a Michael Jackson tune. That was kind of the first one that came to mind when I got this guitar. It's like, okay, now what the heck am I going to play on it? And there was a MJ song on the radio and I thought, I wonder if I can figure that out. Do the bass part with the harp and then the guitar part here and sing, doing the moonwalk at the same time and wear a white glove. You know.
On which hand, though?
Yeah.
And I know that's the one we're going to go out with. But before we do, before we hear the whole thing, how did you figure out what to do with the bass? And we're talking about Billie Jean. The song is Billie Jean. A lot of people have covered it. And so what were you trying to achieve by putting it onto this instrument?
Well, like you said, I guess you've had another guitarist, Gareth Pearson, in here who does it all on the acoustic, and it very much works on just the one. But I just thought utilizing – I haven't seen a lot of harp guitar players that really utilize the harp strings kind of like Hedges did, Michael Hedges, where, you know, he would kind of use it as these melody lines. And more than just like I was showing you there with an open string – rather than just having that nice bass kind of resonate while you play, to have an active part that's, you know, like the bass line in that song. So it took me a little while, and the tuning on it is really weird, but it works out so that I'm able to somehow do the bass line with my right hand and keep the rest of the song going to the left. So, yeah, took a long time to get it down.
Well, we are going to hear it. But before we do, I want to say to Callum Graham, thank you so much for coming in, playing for us. It's such a pleasure to have you in Milwaukee.
Hey, it's been a pleasure. Thank you, Bonnie.
More like a beauty queen from a movie scene. I said, don't mind, but what do you mean? I am the one who will dance in the round. She said, I am the one who will dance in the round.
She told Guitarist Callum Graham performs tonight as part of UWM's MKE Unplugged series. The concert starts at 7:30 and takes place at UWM Zelazo Center for the Performing Arts. The concert is free, and there is more information at WUWM.com.
And that's also where you can hear all three tunes that Callum played for us, Three-Way Street, Farewell, and Billie Jean.
Mother always told me to be careful who you love, be careful what you do, cause a lie becomes the truth, hey. It's not my love, and no, she's just the guy who claims that I am the one. But that kid is not my son. She said I am the one. That kid is not my son.